Hey everybody, Shamira Young here. Welcome to this episode 100 of the Pro Photographer Journey podcast. Oh my goodness. When I first started this podcast, I did not know if I would even make it to episode 10. So to make it to 100 is just awesome and amazing. I want to thank you, the listeners, and I also want to give a huge thank you to the pro photographers that I've had on the show. It's been a group effort, and I could not have done it without any of you. And I look forward to many more episodes in the future. 100. Oh, I'm so pumped. So in this episode, I want to present the top 6 lessons that I've learned from the pros that I've had on this podcast. We've had tons of awesome conversations, and I really wanted to just point out the top ones that came to mind. So let's dive right in. Number 1, when you're running a photography business, it's 80% business and 20% taking photos. Now, that's a rough approximation. I've heard some people say it's 75%, 25%. The main lesson is, if you are looking to run your business, to run a photography business, you will be doing business stuff most of the time. Many people step into it thinking, oh, it's going to be unicorns and rainbows, and I'll be taking more photos than ever. And that's certainly what I thought when I started my business years ago. But what I've found is that the bulk of my time has been taking up doing other things. Business tasks include marketing, crunching your numbers, entering leads into whatever system that you use for your business. Hopefully you have a system. There's a bunch of good ones out there. I use Sprout Studio. There's 17 Hats. There are others. Other business tasks include scheduling emails, writing emails, answering emails, making sure your client is prepared for their upcoming shoot, editing the photos after the shoot, follow-up communication with the client, keeping in touch with them long-term, and so on. There are so many things to think about when you are running a business, as opposed to if you are a hobbyist photographer. By the way, and I've said this before, if you choose to be a hobbyist photographer, there is nothing wrong with that. One of the main things I really want people to take away from this podcast is that there are a lot of things that go into running a business, and I just want to make people aware of that so that you can make that choice. A lot of hobbyists want to try and take the leap into running a business without realizing what goes into it. I want you to know up front what goes into it. So whether you run a business or you do photography as a hobby, more power to you. But if you are running a business, there's a whole lot that goes into it. And that brings me into point number 2. You don't have to do everything yourself. In fact, I personally recommend that you hire some help after a certain point, especially if you're trying to make your business grow. Otherwise, if you try to do everything yourself, your photography biz will only be able to grow up to a certain point because you can only do so much and you're only one person. Even if you're awesome at time management, by the way, it can only get you so far because you can't multiply yourself. And I've learned this personally. As a result of this podcast and the lessons that I've learned on this podcast, my photography biz has grown tremendously, especially over the past year, to the point where I'm hiring a virtual assistant to take care of the administrative tasks for me, such as entering leads, managing emails, preparing clients for their upcoming session, and making them feel awesome and appreciated after the shoot. So the more clients that I have, I find that the more time this stuff takes. And by the way, if you want an up-close look into my workflow, check out the episode before this one. So episode 99, where I talk in depth about my process and how I've come to the decision that I need to hire some help for the administrative tasks. And just a quick update since that episode, I have chatted with multiple virtual assistant candidates since then, and I have selected one to do a test month with. Whoo! So that was my excited noise, by the way. This guy is awesome. He's skilled and he has a passion for helping photographers. So we'll see how it goes. And if we're a good fit for each other, I am excited to begin this process. So no, don't think that you have to do everything yourself. I've been using a service for quite a while, and I've used just different services to even edit my photos too, because that can take time, editing photos yourself. But I found that with these different services, they can learn your style. We've had other photographers on the show who find local help, so someone in person to help edit their photos, which is, that's cool too. And if you're a wedding photographer, this is really something to keep in mind, that you don't necessarily have to do all that editing yourself. So point number three, the best time to be marketing yourself is when you're busy. And I'll say that again, the best time to be marketing yourself is when you're busy. This may seem counterintuitive, but we've had multiple photographers on the show stress that point. For me, I've had to take this lesson to heart, especially as of this summer, really. I finally hit the same income on average per month that I was making at the motorcycle magazine that I used to work for years ago, and I'm busier than ever right now. Of course, keeping in mind that when you run your own business, sometimes some months are more busier than others. Sometimes it's feast, sometimes it's famine. But on average, as of the summer, my income has gone up. And now in this busy time, I found it super tempting to not go to networking events like I used to and to not look for new customers because I'm so busy handling the customers that I have. And I've been guilty of this in the last couple of months. However, I've had to give myself a kick in the pants and get back into networking and putting myself out there and trying to find new clients. I've had several interviewees on the show warn me that you should constantly be looking for new clients because they will be your future income. If I did no prospecting, I would run out of photo shoots to do eventually, and that's not good. And you may have the question of, well, how do I find the time? For me, I've had to become more efficient, and this includes hiring an assistant and streamlining my workflow. So while it may seem counterintuitive if you're busy, to not be looking for more work, you should be constantly looking for more work, because the work you have right now may only last you to the end of the month or the month after or a couple months out. And now it depends on what type of photographer you are. If you're a wedding photographer, then you, I'm sure, have gigs scheduled into the next year. But still, you should be constantly finding new work, because that work, the work that you have right now, will run out. And then that puts you in the cycle of, well, you're busy, and then all of a sudden you have no clients and you're freaked out and your bank account suffers. No, so if you want a steady stream of work, then you should be steadily and constantly looking for new clients. All right, point number four. In-person sales for portrait sessions is often an added value service to your clients, and it pays off in dollars. In-person sales, a scary term, right? At least for me, it was scary when I heard people tell me that they do it on this podcast. And time again, the portrait photographers on the show have told me that in-person sales are great. Like I said, it's scary, but especially at first if you're trying it, but it is great. Portrait photographer Brent Watkins, he's one example of this. He's from episode 95. He does in-person sales. So after a photo shoot, he brings in a client to his studio, and he even projects his client's images up on the wall nice and large so that it's more impressive. Clients can experience the rush of seeing their photos for the first time while he guides them through it. I've just started doing in-person sales this year myself, and no joke, the first time I did in-person sales, I sold just over the mid four-figure range in wall hangings. Now, granted, I was nervous, and to be exact, I was nearly hyperventilating on the way to the in-person sales session at my client's house. And by the time I got there, I felt physically sick. I'm an introvert, mind you, and I don't naturally enjoy talking about money. However, I knew I had to try this in-person sales thing out sometime. So I showed up and I walked them through the presentation on my laptop. I don't even project the images onto a wall or anything yet. And it was cool because I was able to see their reactions firsthand and noted that they particularly enjoyed seeing the photo mock-ups of their photos placed on living room walls, which I did this in Photoshop. So I found a photo of a living room and put their photos up on it so they could get a sense of what their artwork would look like hung up on the walls. And by the end of the meeting, they told me what they wanted, and I stumbled out of there with a large deposit, a check, in my hand, and I was bewildered. Now, I'm not saying this will happen to everyone the first time you do in-person sales, but on average, I would bet my camera and all of my photography equipment that in-person sales, when appropriate to the situation, can bring in more money on average than simply sending your clients a link to their photo gallery. I do have to add that today I do in-person sales for my senior high school sessions, for my family portrait clients, and also my equine clients. For my corporate headshot photography, however, in most cases, for me, it's more appropriate to select the best photos for them and send them a link to an online gallery, which personal feedback that I have found from people in my town is that they prefer this, business owners prefer this, and it saves them time. So it really depends on the type of shoot and the type of client that you're working with, but if you are a portrait photographer or a wedding photographer, then I would highly recommend you at least consider in-person sales. It is scary, but it does get easier over time, but it won't get easier unless you start doing it. All right, number five, as photographers, we're all in this together. It's about collaboration, not competition, and it's so important that we help each other. This podcast has caused me to go out and network with other photographers, not just via Skype, but also in person. So here locally, in my town, and even in my state, I should say, but also across the country, just going out and talking to other photographers, we can all learn from each other. And like I said, we can all help each other. At this point, I generally don't view other photographers as competition, even if they are looking for the same clients that I like to go for. Still, I believe that there are enough customers for everybody. Call it the abundance mentality. In fact, it's nice knowing photographers in my area that I can send customers to that may not be the best fit for my skill set, or if I'm simply too busy at the time to take on additional customers. So, again, it's about collaboration, not competition. And number six, and this is my final point, if you're just starting out as a professional photographer, I urge you to find a mentor. I can't stress this enough. Mentorship is great. It's awesome. You need it because you don't know what you don't know, especially when you're trying to make a business out of your passion and love for photography. It also makes you feel less alone and isolated when you have a mentor. It's wonderful to have a cheerleader on your side, someone who you know is rooting for you and can also keep you accountable too. So this year I've been mentored by the one and only Scott Bourne. He's from episode number 33. I highly encourage you to listen to that episode, and having him as a mentor has been awesome. His experience and knowledge is so vast that I have been so honored to have him as a mentor. He shares his wisdom with me. He gives me tips on my business. He's also helped me to analyze myself, which is hard for me to do by myself, but having someone guide me through it has been great. And he's taught me to think bigger. So Scott, if you're listening, thank you, and thank you. I am honored to call you my mentor and my friend. Finding a mentor doesn't have to be complicated or hard, by the way. You can reach out to a photographer in your city that you look up to and proposition them in a non-creepy way, please. It's as simple as asking them if they would share some of their knowledge with you. Or there may be a photographer online that you like and admire. Reach out to them. Send them an email. The main thing is that you reach out and ask. They won't always say yes, but all you need is one yes. So that brings me to the end of this episode. Just a quick recap of the 6 points, the 6 top lessons that I've learned from the pros that I've had on this podcast. Number one, when you're running a photography business, it's 80% business and 20% taking photos. Number two, you don't have to do everything yourself. In fact, I personally recommend you hire some help after a certain point, especially if you're really trying to grow your business. Number three, the best time to market yourself is when you're busy. As counterintuitive as that may sound, you need to steadily be bringing in new clients if you want steady work. Number four, In-person sales is an added value service to your clients, and it often pays off in dollars. This is especially applicable to portrait sessions. Number five, as photographers, we're all in this together. It's all about collaboration, not competition. And number six, if you're just starting out as a professional photographer, find a mentor. And I would even say, if you've been doing it for years, if you've been trying to make your business grow for years, still find a mentor. I can't really think of a time when you should not have a mentor, is my personal experience. I hope that even 10 years from now, I still have a mentor, because there's always, always things that I can learn. And I know that I'll never get to the point where I say that I know everything. So that's the end of this episode 100. I'm doing a happy dance. Now let's go out and build the photography business of your dreams. I look forward to bringing many more episodes to you. All right, take care.